Blog Talk Radio.
CQ, CQ, CQDX, the voice of the Canadian Rockets, VOCR2012, is on the air. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs of Maisonfort. Welcome to another edition of VOCR2012, broadcasting around the world on the TerraJet Radio Network. Phone lines shall be open for this full edition, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Got an opinion? Got an idea? Want to make a statement? 347-324-3287. VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rocket. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Guru Nostra.
And doing the cha-cha as we come into the studio. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a Friday edition of VOCR 2012 Radio. We welcome our listeners from around the world, and we do appreciate each and every one of you. Many of you are following us through the blog link, the vocr2012.blogspot.com, many on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and others through players scattered about the world. Special shout-outs to Rudy from Minnesota, who feeds our blog with some great information. Thanks. Keep the emails coming, Rudy. Janet from Southern Alberta, back at you, kid. And to the BC Dreamcatcher, follow your dreams. Important things are worth waiting for. Mark in Luton, England, who questioned my resistance to a coalition-style government. Well, a coalition of the willing can be one method of navigating the next few years. However, it is solely dependent upon the formula of players and their goals. The formula of personalities in the United Kingdom, for instance, permitted a coalition government. So far, it's been a successful formula, a little rocky, but successful. But that does not qualify coalitions as a complete success. And I got to say, it continues to be met with negative resistance here in North America. The word coalition is just not a happy word at times, especially in Canada. It is, however, a possibility for true people representative government. So I hope it helped define my resistance to it. We will get into that after we get through Monday's Canadian election. This week's buzz has, of course, been focused on the birther issue. Obama strutted his stuff after throwing a grenade into what appeared to be a growing movement perpetuated by Donald Trump and the Tea Party, a timed assault on the Tea Party message for 2012, I guess. As we reported last week, mainstream media swarmed on the Trump story. He made every talk show possible, including enemy territory like The View with Whoopi Goldberg. The producers of The View knew exactly the ratings share they would receive if they put Trump in ideological confrontation with Whoopi. Now CNN, Fox, all the other major source carriers, and all daily shows fed feverishly on the story. And all this as the American economy continues to erode. Gas prices continue to rise. Soldiers continue to be killed, and the world continues to boil and bubble like a witch's cauldron. Now, the rating whores fed like a pack of piranhas until the big reveal. And the official release of Obama's birth records long form, which apparently had been located in Hawaii and sequestered for the last 6 months as legalities of release were cleared. Chat rooms rekindled. Old dogs lifted their tired minds up once again to fight the good fight. And as expected, those who wished the removal of President Barack Obama now move on to college records. I even received a link for an old story which ran when Obama was entering the Senate, which stated he was Kenyan-born. So now it is now about his college records, and then probably his university records. So the questions coming up will be, did Barack Obama receive grants for being a foreign student? What is he withholding, if anything? What's the Occidental college records all about? If he releases one, why not release all? I can see where the fight will continue. The election trumpet has been sounded. The first shot over the bow has been initiated. And President Obama may have underestimated Mr. Donald Trump. His retaliation on Obama's administration will probably be more than a volley across the bow. Trump is a very cunning businessman. He will not let this stand. Donald Trump, as only Donald Trump could, turned the document release into a positive for his potential campaign, which, by the way, he will declare after the season end of The Apprentice. So that's May the 22nd. Was Trump right in jumping on the story so hard? Did he identify a powerful pressure point in the Obama administration? Mr. Trump was given all of the airtime he could handle, and reporters waited with bated breath for him to stumble or say something stupid. Well, he was forthcoming on Libya, invade and take their oil, give Saudi Arabia demands, remind them who is protecting them, and tell the Chinese that they've been cheating and it's time to balance the scales. Well, they're bold statements, but could America survive if those key elements were denied? Would those countries call in their markers? Would they margin call the U.S. debt ratio? You see, these are the very same people who own the American debt, which was surrendered to China as a down payment for lending the USA and the world money. Not on the Obama's watch, not even on the Bush or the Clinton's watches, and definitely not on the Reagan's watch. So who enticed us to the Chinese money tree? I wonder who did that.
We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers.
I did something that nobody else could do. I got Obama to give his birth certificate, and it was about time.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Looking for more information on VOCR? Check out our blog at vocr2012.blogspot.com. Email the show, vocr2012@gmail.com. You're listening to VOCR 2012 with Colin Knight. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although it's all precautions to bring you quality information, is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVNM 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
So the silent Chinese army of accountants and mathematicians manipulating borrowing rates and stocks and subsidizing their currency with interest payments from foreign debtors. I read that by 2015, the interest payment alone on the repayment plan to China from the USA will finance the Chinese military without further input from the Chinese economy. The U.S. debt balance is 93% of GDP. So clearly, to service the debt, one of two things must happen at minimum. One, the GDP production must be increased. Now, Trump plans to stimulate the U.S. economy. He intends to talk to the American oil people and OPEC, discuss their business methods and come up with a new strategy. Push comes to shove, I guess. Manufacturing return, corporate tax structures have to be changed to benefit corporations wanting to do business. And foreign affairs, well, what can I say? To the victor go the spoils. And two would be a massive pay down on the debt. Now, Donald Trump is absolutely correct in his statements about Saudi Arabia and China. However, if China is roughed up, they will probably retaliate financially. And the U.S. is in no position to take on the Chinese economy in its present form. The big thrill as we go to air tonight is the release of from mainstream media is Trump's F-bomb speech. Now, in case you haven't heard about this, Donald Trump unleashed an F-bomb-laced attack on President Obama and Washington politics Thursday night during a speech that likely won't help him win the family values votes should he decide to run for president. At a Las Vegas casino that bears his name, Trump assured a crowd of adoring supporters that he is seriously weighing a presidential run and will make that decision soon. During a 30-minute stump speech focused mostly on foreign affairs, Trump blasted Obama's handling of Libya, Iraq, China, Afghanistan, and in one of his many curse bombs, he lamented the nation's focus on building schools in war-torn Iraq while neglecting education in the New York states. Now, check out the Fox feed on foxnews.com. There is a video there that you can see the interaction yourself. It's pretty interesting. As reported on VOCR 2012 blog, U.S. President Barack Obama has nominated General David Petraeus, a U.S. head of international forces in Afghanistan, as the new CIA director, and has named the agency's chief as head of the Pentagon. CIA Director Leo Panetta will take over as the next defense secretary when Robert Gates retires in late June. Now, General Petraeus' job will be filled by Marine Corps Lieutenant General John Allen. The Senate will still confirm the changes. Announcing the most sweeping shakeup of top security officials since he took office, Mr. Obama also named Ryan Crocker as the next U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan. These moves, of course, are strategic, as the Obama administration is readied for political battle. The 2012 elections will be bloody, and all efforts shall be exhausted to gain power for the next following 5 years. Now, let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll take a dive, and I mean a dive, into Canadian politics.
What I see is a bankruptcy coming. Yes, the government is broken. It doesn't work, but it's because we're broke.
But I don't think we need to smash the whole system and start afresh the way President Obama tried to do it. I go back again and again to saying the problem is poor people who don't have health. Why don't we just give them money to have health insurance? I don't think we're ever going to get the waste out of the system. I've been hearing about getting waste out of government expenditures and medical expenditures my whole life. They never do it. It just gets worse and worse. It's never going to stop. Let's just give poor people money to buy insurance policies and let them not die and let them not be sick.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You're listening to VOCR 2012 with Colin Knight.
The Americans and others deliberately to withhold food aid to the North Korean people because of political or military issues not related is really indeed human rights violation.
It means he's very concerned. I mean, I think he's very concerned. The polls show me doing great against him. Well, I'm leading every poll, so I don't know how that's a distraction. Somebody's doing well.
They want to go in and raise the price of oil because we have nobody in Washington that sits back and says, you're not going to raise that price. You understand?
Okay. country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You're listening to VOCR 2012 with Colin Knight. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although it's all precautions to bring you quality information, is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVAD MTOR.
16 months, we should be able to reduce our combat troops, provide some relief to military families and our troops, and bolster our efforts in Afghanistan so that we can capture and kill bin Laden and crush al-Qaeda.
We need to express our rights and our concerns, and we don't have to second guess what their efforts would be if they believe that it is in their country and their allies, including us, all of our best interests to fight against a regime, especially Iran, who would seek to wipe them off the face of the earth. It is obvious to me who the good guys are in this one and who the bad guys are.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And in Canada this week, of course, this is the final weekend before the federal election on Monday. Michael Ignatieff, the Liberal opposition leader, watches in dismay as his ranking as a party fails in response to poor poll numbers, leaving smiling Jack Layton as a clear contender for an NDP opposition party leader, and some even say possible prime minister. Now hold on to your Mae West. The political seas are about to get much more aggressive as we head for Monday. I continue to smell the stench of a Canadian coalition government. I don't trust Ignatieff. He was drafted by the liberal elite. He's previously a professor from Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, 34 years abroad as an adult, considers himself an American in many of the sound bites that we have listened to. So I'm wary of him. Jack, we all know Jack Layton, smiling Jack, promise you anything as long as he can tax you. Stephen Harper, minority government prime minister for the last 7 years, through four elections, I may add, sticking to the fiscal plan. Budget tabled is the budget they believe in, a clear decision of fiscal understandings. Now, liberals, of course, are all about tax and spend, tax corporations. Their last attempt to raid the taxpayers' coffers was under Jean Chrétien and then Mr. Paul Martin. I remember the NEP program when Chrétien was Minister of Mines and Resources. I remember the missing taxpayers' funds from government coffers to illegal transfers of taxpayers' money to political-friendly businesses and ailing liberal riding committees. Now, the NDP, the social programs paid for by raising taxes on corporations and the wealthy, well, the latest scuttle is that Jack Layton and his wife lived in subsidized housing until the press got wind of it. Provincially, in Alberta, we too are preparing for a second ballot to elect a new premier for the province, governor, if you will, to Americans, of Alberta. The provincial Conservative leader, the Right Honourable Ed Stelmach, shall step down in September, and the citizens of Alberta will once again have the opportunity to refocus governmental issues and elect a party and platform which best suits Albertans' needs. Alberta has a number of provincial political parties, Liberals, Conservatives, NDP, Wild Rose, the Alberta Party. And the province has been governed by Conservatives for over 30 years. So is it time for a change? The Wild Rose Party certainly believes so. Remember, Wild Rose are disenfranchised Conservatives. So Canadian federal election shakeup on Monday, provincially in September, will the tide of change continue throughout the Western world? And are coalition governments really a sign of progress?
for those listeners who wish to email the show, vocr2012@gmail.com. And for those who wish to leave an audio message, our 24-hour hotline, 240-696-6030, and leave your message.
I did something that nobody else could do. I got Obama to give his birth certificate, and it was about time.
We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers.
The Americans and others deliberately to withhold food aid to the North Korean people because of political or military issues not related is really indeed human rights violation.
Fact is, America is as unpopular as it has ever been in the last half century. And this does give us good reason to fear. There are people out there who want to kill us, and they want to destroy our way of life. We have to live with this. It is a fact of our situation. It is a fact that will define your lives unless your generation does better with this problem than my generation.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
It's going to take a lot for me to vote for him. I don't know. He just gives me the impression of a playboy.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You're listening to VOCR 2012 Radio on blogtalkradio.com.
My point here is that you have to decide what kind of America you want, right? You have to decide. It's your country just as much as it is mine.
Entirely bogus reputation. We used to be peacekeepers. We used to have capability. We gave them away. I mean, it's disgusting in my own country, Canada. They would rather bitch about their rich neighbors to the south than actually pay the note.
You have to take responsibility to do something about this hatred, this intense dislike for everything that America is and does. You may think it is undeserved. You may think it is unfair. And you would be right.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You're listening to VOCR 2012 with Colin Knight.
And of course, in Alberta, the overriding factor for financial feasibility are social programs and infrastructure investment is the revenue from oil. Alberta's, as soon to be Saskatchewan, export is oil, and lots of it. Now, due to the resistance of the Obama administration to permit a pipeline to Texas refineries from the Alberta oil sands, an outcry of protesters made it very, very difficult. Now, these protesters fly and drive long distances to sound off against the establishment, claiming damage to the environment while leaving a massive carbon footprint on their own actions. This has caused increased interest in creating a super refinery in Alberta, which would be fed by Canadian pipeline systems, sending the refined product to market at an exceptional price and profit. A safe, secure supply for the gluttonous U.S. market, reducing the dependency upon foreign oil. Now, once we have that sorted, we can look at our water sources into the United States. I'm sure we can come and work out a payment system that is fair to the supplier. Now, China have invested heavily in the feasibility study of a super refinery in Alberta, which is a prelude to requesting license and permissions from Canadian authorities to build. The NDP and Liberals want to impose a carbon tax system on consumers and increase taxes on petroleum producers. So let me ask you this. Where do these NDP think tanks think the increased costs will come from? From the corporations or from the taxpayers? NDP and Liberals have found another legal way to steal your money. Your taxes shall pay for the damage that oil producers do to the atmosphere from supplying you with petroleum products. And those taxes that are paid to the government seem to be going into general revenue with no definition of use of taxes raked in. If you increase taxes on the employer, you will deplete profit margins through legislation. You will increase costs to service and goods suppliers. So who ultimately pays the freight for that extra tax you put on a corporation? The taxpayer. With increased costs, decreased demand on products, inflation, high borrowing rates, higher risk equities, soft stock markets, higher GDP ratios. Although I like Jack Layton a lot, I think he's consumed by the possibility of power and will sell his political survival to promise them anything. This is most probably Jack's last kick at the can. He has served honorably and with an honest message. However, now is not the time for an NDP government. Maybe wait until the government is flush with money, so the social impact will not be felt as hard as it will if NDP begin to reign in Canada within the next 3 years. I guess we'll see Monday night. U.S. President Barack Obama has signed an order imposing sanctions on three top Syrian officials, the Syrian, of course, intelligence agency, and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Now, the sanctions freeze any assets the group has in U.S. jurisdictions and bars Americans from doing business with them. Now, Mr. Obama authorized the penalties in the wake of a bloody crackdown on anti-government dissent that has left some 500 people dead. Two relatives of President Bashar al-Assad were targeted by these sanctions. It appears as though the Middle East is coming unzipped at the seams. Moderates are demanding a voice, the old guard is under attack, and we all know what happens when you trap a rat in a corner. Their last fight will be bloody, and even when they know they are about to lose, they will continue their wholesale slaughter. Are the rebellions of the masses the true Middle East reformations? Can we navigate peace in an orderly fashion, or do more people have to die? The final mission of NASA's Endeavour shuttle has been delayed at least 72 hours because of a technical problem. The orbiter is being held on the ground while engineers investigate a hitch in a unit that powers the vehicle's hydraulics. Endeavour, the youngest of America's reusable space planes, is set to deliver a $2 billion particle physics experiment to the International Space Station. Also present at the spaceport to see Endeavour go up was Commander Mark Kelly's wife, Gabrielle Giffords, the Arizona politician who was shot in the head by a gunman in January. It is not immediately clear whether she will stay for the next launch attempt or return to Houston, Texas, where she is undergoing rehabilitation. Managers and engineers are now discussing how long a turnaround they need to deal with what appears to be an electrical problem associated with one of the three auxiliary power units in the Endeavour. A heater that prevents freezing in a fuel line leading to the unit stopped working. Another heater was also displaying unusual behavior. NASA managers suspect a short in an electrical switch box may lie at the heart of the failure, but they will know for sure when engineers get inside the shuttle to inspect the unit. Now, they are looking for an Endeavour launch window of Sunday. This story is comforting. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it. Walmart has said it will soon bring back the sale of firearms, including rifles and shotguns, at more than 500 of its U.S. stores. The retail giant stopped selling guns at hundreds of its 3,600 stores in 2006, citing slumping consumer demand. But a spokesman said guns would return to the shelves as part of the overall push to bring 8,000 products back. Thursday's news came 2 months after Walmart announced a 7 straight quarterly decline in U.S. sales. Well, Gaddafi is trying Second World War tactics on a 21st century military machine. NATO says its warships have intercepted pro-Gaddafi forces trying to lay mines in the harbor of the city of Misrata. NATO crews were currently disposing of those mines. Rebels say government tanks have launched another assault on Misrata, which have been under siege for several weeks. And in another development, Tunisian troops are reported to have captured Libyan soldiers who crossed the border in pursuit of rebel forces. NATO's Director of Operations in Libya, Brigadier Robert Wagel, said warships stationed in the Mediterranean stopped the mine-laying attempt on Friday morning. Well, Omar Gaddafi, God bless him. He can't take no for an answer. It is pretty darn clear that the Western world and some of his closest allies don't want him. Now, rumor has it there is secret discussion with Venezuela and that Gaddafi may be Venezuelan-bound to be with his friend. It's nice to round up all of the rats into one tight little nest. So Trump's solution for Libya was to go in but control the oil and use the oil to pay for the war expense. Well, that was supposed to be the idea in Iraq. That didn't seem to work. And Libya was just a noble thing to do. And that didn't seem to work. We have been allowing money to be sucked into the Middle East like a black hole. And we have very little to show for it. And that's because if we are willing to pay, they're willing to almost let us stay. We've got major problems by removing troops out of the region. It will not prevent that region from continuing with an implosion. There has to be a better way. And Barack Hussein Obama, his people that have been giving him the advice, although I am quite sure they have a heck of a lot more information than you or I, it feels like he has been given bad advice. Obama's inactions on the world player stage is just not good. And the disappearance of Hillary Clinton on the world stage is also equally worrisome. I wonder if Hillary is ready to be replaced or to step down so she may look at 2012. If she's not happy with what she's seen from her president, Barack Obama. I am sure there were some caveats in her ability to run as Secretary of State, and maybe she has learned something she was shy of, which was foreign affairs. And now, Hillary Rodham Clinton is an expert. Security forces in Russia report killing a top Islamic militant and 9 of his followers in a siege in the southern region of Stavropol. Askar Dzhapuyev said to have led a militant group in the nearby region and was wanted over the killing of hunters and police officers. And security forces attacked the house where the suspects were staying after they reportedly refused to surrender. The area has been a string of attacks blamed on Islamic militants of late. Pakistan has carried out a successful test of a cruise missile capable of carrying nuclear weapons, military say. The Haft the 8th, or the Raid Thunder in Arabic, was first tested in 2007 and has a range of 350 kilometers, or 220 miles. India and Pakistan regularly test their missile systems, and they normally notify one another ahead of such tests. Tension between Pakistan and India has decreased in recent months after a series of bilateral overtures. The missile was first tested in August 2007 and experts say several tests are required before any missile will be deployed. Now, I find it interesting that Pakistan all of a sudden are rushing to Afghanistan and convincing or attempting to convince Afghanistan to allow the protection of Pakistan. Now, this is kind of irking to me when the ISI, the Secret Service of Pakistan, are the ones that are housing bin Laden, are the ones that are giving intelligence reports to the bin Laden network. The ISI are corrupt. Everybody knows they are corrupt. Everybody has heard they are corrupt. And yet, we even consider doing business with them. Billions of dollars were paid to fight terrorism. What happened? Where did it go? What is the accounting of that money to Pakistan for those billions of dollars that were transferred in good faith to fight terrorism? Where did the money go to fight terrorism? Billions of dollars paid. What help have Pakistan been in the Afghan battle? Now, reporters say bin Laden lives in Pakistan safely under the protection of ISI. It makes you wonder. Makes you wonder exactly where we are in this crazy world, doesn't it?
We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers.
I did something that nobody else could do. I got Obama to give his birth certificate, and it was about time.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Looking for more information on VOCR? Check out our blog at vocr2012.blogspot.com. Email the show, vocr2012@gmail.com. You're listening to VOCR 2012 with Colin Knight. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although it takes all precautions to bring you quality information, it is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVNM 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
And tonight our hearts go out to our friends down in Alabama, survivors of the deadliest tornado outbreak since the 1930s. Many of them struggled to begin rebuilding their lives in the wind-wrecked landscape on Friday, enduring blackouts and waiting in long lines for gas as their remaining possessions lay hidden in the rubble. Obama stepped off a plane at the airport in hard-hit Tuscaloosa. Rescuers and survivors combed the remains of the neighborhood pulverized by Wednesday's outbreak that killed at least 318 across 7 states. In one of its official assessments, the tornado strength, the National Weather Service gave the worst possible rating, especially to one that raked Mississippi, and said that it was the strongest to hit the state since 1966. With the confirmation of more deaths by state officials, Wednesday's outbreak surpassed a deadly series of tornadoes in 1974. And became the deadliest day for twisters since 332 people died in March 1932. The storm 8 decades ago was also in Alabama. Now, here's an odd story that was sent to us by one of our listeners in Brighton, England, from the Daily Mail. And we've also found a link in North America on Fox News, by the way. A British gravedigger apparently has been charged for rape of four girls in a churchyard by claiming he was a warlock who could pass on magical powers through sexual intercourse. William Lambert, 74 years old, preyed on vulnerable schoolgirls while running a youth club at St. Dunstan's Churchyard in Cheam, Surrey, more than 20 years ago. This according to the Daily Mail report, citing testimony from the Croydon Crown Courts. Now, Wongdale claimed Lambert raped her on a tombstone, saying she would get power from the black floating monk who haunted the church, according to newspaper reports. Lambert allegedly spellbound the girls aged 11 to 15 into allowing him to have intercourse with them by claiming his power could solve their problems, including aborting a baby of one girl who thought she was pregnant. The alleged attacks took place between 1985 and 1990, according to testimony. Lambert denies the allegations and accuses the girls of malicious fabrication. And the Daily Mail will be following up on that story, I guess. I guess we're going to put that in the strange but true file for a later time. A story which was sent to us from our Fox friends. Imagine if all U.S. jobs lost during the recession were already back. That would be great, huh? What if American deficits stood at just $50 billion? Would that be wonderful too? Right? Well, there is a North American country where that's true. It's called Canada. Still conservative Prime Minister Stephen Harper faces a tough test in Monday's election. The choice is to continue on the economic track we're on with low taxes that are providing jobs and enabling us to deliver real affordable benefits to Canada, according to Harper. As he spoke to supporters gathered in Niagara Falls on Thursday, always happy to highlight such a rosy economic story. As Canadians head to the polls for their national elections, you'd be excused if you predicted, in light of all good news, that Harper's Conservative Party will be rewarded with a solid majority in Parliament. But that's not the case. The election is actually a toss-up. So what's going on? For starters, reporters will tell you Harper is not the type of politician who's warm and fuzzy. In fact, words like dull often come up. Now enter Jack Layton, also known as Jumping Jack, Happy Jack, or Smiling Jack, and he's been called by the Canadian media, he is the darling of this election. Layton is the leader of the New Democratic Party, and until now, he has been a smaller player on the national political scene. His party's politics are to the left of Canada's so-called natural ruling party, the Liberals. Yes, left of the Liberals. And the NDP platform, like the Liberals, calls for a cap-and-trade system to deal with greenhouse gas emissions in Canada, a notion which, depending on who you talk to, would result in an estimated 28 to 40 cent increase in gasoline prices. Now, gasoline here already costs $5.20 an imperial gallon. That's $5.47 US funds. Layton is not a fan of free trade deals like NAFTA, and if he becomes Prime Minister, he wants Canada's order to the 65 new American-made F-35 fighter jets cancelled. When he set out on the campaign trail, Layton told supporters, "You're working harder than ever. Your household debt is at an all-time high. Your retirement is less secure, and nothing has been done for you. What does all this mean? Well, it means that Ottawa is broken, and it's time for us to fix it." Great statement from Jack Layton. And in the last 2 weeks, Layton and the NDP have steadily risen in national polls. Now, they sit in second place in those surveys ahead of the Liberals as a real contender. but he is catching heat from both the liberals and the conservatives. Liberal Party leader Michael Ignatieff called Layton's spending proposals a fantasy budget, and Harper, noting much of Canada's economy depends on trade with the U.S., says a Layton-led NDP. He's opposed every trade deal that has been signed. Ah, but Smiling Jack is something rare in Canadian politics, a motivated bloc of young voters behind him. It's believed that the reason early vote totals are so high is because of that, but Conservatives are credited with the best get-out-and-vote operation in the country. The election has become the story in Canada, not the NHL playoffs, not the royal wedding, and mind you, Queen Elizabeth is Canada's official head of state. But for much more on that story regarding the look at Canadian politics by American reporters, go to Fox News in the politics section. I'm sure you will enjoy it. And William Kate's wedding, yes, yes, I watched it. Yes, I watched it live. And, you have to, don't you? Right? The security was impressive. Very rarely did you see any armed security personnel. Very rarely did you see any major movements by security personnel ahead of the marriage. And the precision of moving people from Trafalgar Square to Buckingham Palace was extraordinary. To move that amount of people in such an orderly fashion, I must say, can only be done by the Brits. It was extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. And we hope for William and Kate, God bless you. May he keep you in safety. I worry about the cost of such events and whether the money could have been put to better use. However, what does it mean to the United Kingdom? Well, it means a lot. It's a pomp and ceremony that is sadly lacking. It's a time to respect and reflect and to understand where England came from. Is the monarchy necessary? Well, it's necessary for tourism. Without tourism, England would be a much different place. It is necessary because of ceremony and respect. And as we move into the final 10 minutes or so, let's see where we're at, 12 minutes, 11 minutes, we look around the world, and I read a story from Tunis, Tunisia now. More than 800 inmates escaped on Friday from two Tunisian prisons after fires were set in cells. What's happening, guys? Like, has this been just a vacation hotel? A recuperation zone for these militants? Have they just kicked back and mended their bodies and got ready to do it again?
What I see is a bankruptcy incoming. Yes, the government is broken. It doesn't work, but it's because we're broke.
But I don't think we need to smash the whole system and start afresh the way President Obama tried to do it. I go back again and again to saying the problem is poor people who don't have health. Why don't we just give them money to have health insurance? I don't think we're ever going to get the waste out of the system. I've been hearing about getting waste out of government expenditures and medical expenditures my whole life. They never do it. It just gets worse and worse. It's never going to stop. Let's just give poor people money to buy insurance policies and let them not die and let them not be sick.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You're listening to VOCR 2012 with Colin Knight.
the Americans and others, deliberately to withhold food aid to the North Korean people because of political or military issues not related is really indeed human rights violation.
It means he's very concerned. I mean, I think he's very concerned. The polls show me doing great against him. Well, I'm leading every poll, so I don't know how that's a distraction. Somebody's doing well.
They want to go in and raise the price of oil. Because we have nobody in Washington that sits back and says, you're not going to raise that price. You understand?
Ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You're listening to VOCR 2012 with Colin Knight. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although it's all precautions to bring you quality information, is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or hosts. We remind all of our listeners, KV at MTOR.
16 months, we should be able to reduce our combat troops, provide some relief to military families and our troops, and bolster our efforts in Afghanistan so that we can capture and kill Bin Laden and crush Al-Qaeda.
We need to express our rights and our concerns, and we don't have to second guess what their efforts would be if they believe that it is in their country and their allies, including us, all of our best interests to fight against a regime, especially Iran, who would seek to wipe them off the face of the earth. It is obvious to me who the good guys are in this one and who the bad guys are.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And the banned Muslim Brotherhood are at it again. They are urging Syrians to take to the streets. It'll probably be almost over by now, by the time we go to air, as activists call for a day of rage against President Bashar Assad's regime. And the regime has stepped up its deadly crackdown on protesters by unleashing the army, along with snipers and tanks. Now, the government warned against holding any demonstrations. Syrian state television said the Interior Ministry has not approved any march, demonstration, or sit-in, and that such rallies seek only to harm Syria's security and stability. Activists in Syria are planning nationwide protests following Muslim prayers in solidarity with more than 50 people killed in the last week alone in Diriyah, a southern city at the heart of the revolt. Since the uprising in Syria began in mid-March, inspired by revolts across the Arab world, more than 450 people have been killed nationwide. Friday's statement by the Muslim Brotherhood was the first time the outlawed group has openly encouraged the protest in Syria. The Brotherhood was crushed by Assad's father, Hafez, after staging an uprising against his regime in 1982. So, is Syria the next on the map to fall? Will Assad give to the will of the people, or will he attempt to destroy that inner core of disenfranchised citizens? Will it be a bloodbath? I'm not sure. Word out from Iran, deep rifts among Iran's ruling elite have reached an all-time high in recent weeks, according to sources, who say things have gotten so bad that President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad may have stopped showing up for work. Iran's complex power structure has for years been compared to a multi-headed hydra with multiple points of strength. But the struggle now appears to have boiled down to a showdown between Ahmadinejad and Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, once viewed as Ahmadinejad's biggest cheerleader. The founder of one of Iranian's Revolutionary Guard and now an opposition figure living in the U.S., Dr. Mohsen Sazegara, says it's a classic Iranian power struggle. There have been disputes over positions in the cabinet, with the apparent sidling of longtime Ahmadinejad confederate Esvar Ramer Mashel, who often viewed as the man to take the torch from Ahmadinejad when his term ran out. But they didn't. In a closed-door meeting of the United States Security Council on Thursday, U.S. Envoy Susan Rice told member nations she had seen reports from media organizations and human rights groups that Libyan forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi were issued the impotency drug Viagra for the purpose of engaging in sexual violence. According to a Security Council diplomat familiar with the meeting, Rice made the remark in response to a representative from Russia and India who complained about NATO involvement in Libya and its defense of rebels. In addition to citing the report of sexual violence, Rice pointed out that Gaddafi snipers are targeting children. Rice was merely defending the stance of NATO and firing back at naysayers who sought to equate the rebels with Gaddafi's forces, officials said. Now, the official made it clear Rice was not officially accusing Gaddafi's forces of using Viagra and sexually assaulting civilians. Rather, she was citing unofficial reports. She was not referring to any specific U.S. intelligence, one official said. So, is he not? Well, he's trying to mine the ports. So he's looking at blowing up supply lines in a very World War II amateurish kind of way, because obviously he was unsuccessful. We'll be following that story a little further on VOCR2012.blogspot.com. So if you want to nip over to Blogspot and watch the page, tag it up so that you'll be notified. You'll enjoy yourselves. We will keep that story on one of our hotlines, so we will see exactly where that story is going. But we're coming to the end of the show, and I can't believe that we burned through an hour already, but sometimes that's the way it goes. It is what it is. And we hope that you have some information from us, and we look forward to your emails, or if you want to hit the 24-hour action line, 240-696-6030. Leave a message for on air, and we will replay them back at another time. And just remember that use your intelligence, not your anger. But we do have to start winding up this popsicle stand for another week. We will be back next week, and check the blog for all times, places, dates, and events, so that you can keep up with where we are on the VOCR, VOCR2012@gmail.com, or the blog, VOCR2012.blogspot.com. Hey guys, got a minute? You know, I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage, or in their general relationships in life. And, but for the grace of God go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. And it doesn't always happen. So, what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show them. God bless you all. Good night.
This has been a Night Talk production in association with Terra Chat Networks and BlogTalkRadio.com. Blessings on your household.